This is a People First Radio podcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
It's clear from the growing body of evidence that mental health services are optimized when providers with backgrounds in primary health care and in mental health care work collaboratively with consumers, their families, and caregivers toward the attainment of goals set by the consumer. Mental health is an integral component of primary health care. Further, there's growing awareness that collaborative care depends on consumer, client, or patient participation in all aspects of self-care, including assessment, intervention, decision-making, and management.
The 16th Annual Canadian Collaborative Mental Health Care Conference was held in Calgary, Alberta in June 2015. A presentation called The Real Deal, Honoring Lived Experiences, included three individuals who shared their experiences with collaborative mental health care. They also offered reflections on successes and challenges involved in the collaborative model of care. Here's Dr. Christine Lilo, the conference co-chair, introducing the first speaker, Elizabeth Anderson.
I'm Dr. Christine Lilo, and I'm a family physician in community practice, and I also work as a medical director for the South Calgary Primary Care Network, who is a major sponsor for the conference. One of the things that we wanted to do was to ask individuals with lived experience to join us during the conference. During our conversations leading up to today's event, one of the things that came up was, I want to make sure that people know that I'm credible when I talk about the mental health space. And my response was that if you have been going through your journey for 5, 10, 15 years, or you've accessed mental health care once, you're still credible to providers, because the perceptions that patients have around the mental health care that we provide and assist them with are important. And it doesn't matter how much experience you have, it's still important. So I think we can all come from that place today. I used the word patient, and one of the things that we asked our panelists about during the prep was to say, what do you think about that word? What do you think about the word client? What do you think about the word consumer? And so I hope that's something we can use during our discussion time at the end of the talks. So without further ado, I'll introduce our panelists. So first we have Elizabeth Anderson, who has been living with schizophrenia and depression since 1995. She has a Bachelor of Communication and Culture from the University of Calgary in 2010. She is the author of Being Mentally Healthy in Spite of a Mental Illness. She has a website, beingmentallyhealthy.com, and is recipient of the Lieutenant Governor's Circle on Mental Health and Addictions True Grit Award. Fun fact, part of an improvisation group to improve her speaking, stress tolerance, and problem solving under stress. I should join you. That would be good.
Good morning. I'm Elizabeth, as was mentioned, and I thought I'd tell you a little bit about my story. And I've got a cold, so I apologize. I had depression when I was young. I had two suicide attempts before the age of 19. In my late 20s, I thought I had my depression beat. During that time, I met my husband while I was in remission. He asked me to marry him, and I said yes. We got married, but planning the event was really too stressful for me. In 1993, my wedding was my trigger event for schizophrenia. Newly married, I started to be paranoid. I was not eating. I thought my food was poisoned. My husband thought I may have an eating disorder, so he was glad when my doctor referred me to a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist deemed that I was having trouble adjusting to my new role as wife. The doctor booked an MRI for me, and I made it to the hospital, but not into the building. I thought I was being followed, so I left and scaredly drove home. Because I didn't follow through with the MRI appointment and missed my next appointment with the psychiatrist, they discontinued the relationship. Then my family doctor moved to the States and didn't follow up about the referral to the psychiatrist. He referred me to a new family doctor, but I was paranoid and didn't want to meet the new family doctor. My symptoms were taking over. I was paranoid. I didn't want to go out. I wanted to watch the door in case anyone came in. I kept the blinds drawn except to look out for suspicious-looking cars in front of my house. I stopped showering. I lost 20 pounds because I thought my food was poisoned. My husband took me to the hospital on the advice of a friend. The discontinuity of care had caused me to go 2 years undiagnosed. I spent 17 hours in emergency and my 30th birthday in hospital. One nurse made fun of me because I had broken glasses. They'd smashed on the sidewalk, and I didn't have the wherewithal to make an appointment to get them fixed. Other than that, I had good care. My psychiatrist, Sally, I didn't know her last name because I never used it. She went above and beyond the call of duty. She was at the hospital on a Sunday night at 10 p.m. to see if I was traumatized by my day pass. I'd gone to my bridesmaid's wedding and thankfully was not traumatized. I didn't realize how special it was for her to do this. I think I just told her I was tired and had to go to bed. My psychologist was very skilled as well. Although my psychologist did 10 years of counseling with me to master CBT and stress management, he did cognitive behavioral therapy before it was common to do this with patients. And the OTs were exceptional. In the hospital, I set 3 goals a day in moving on group. I set 3 goals a day: make my bed, have a shower, phone my mom. Monumental tasks at the time. 8 months later, still in goal group, as an outpatient, getting my check marks, my goals got bigger. Find a community of support, get a part-time job, save my marriage. I found the Schizophrenia Society and started speaking for the organization, and I got a part-time job with the city doing disability awareness for grade 6 students in the school system, and I made my husband a goal. I did 3 nice things for him a day. Fast forward 5 years from the diagnosis. I was still speaking with the Schizophrenia Society, my marriage was saved, and I changed jobs, which enabled me to go back to university. It was 10 years to get a 3-year degree. But I graduated with a Bachelor of Communication and Culture, University of Calgary, 2010. After graduation from university, I thought about what I wanted to do with my life, and I thought I should set 3 goals: write a book, speak for a living, get a website. I wrote my book, Being Mentally Healthy in Spite of a Mental Illness, and it's required reading at Grant MacEwan and University of Calgary. It's recommended reading at University of Alberta and Mount Royal University. And I was plenary keynote for the Forum for Behavioral Science in Family Medicine in September of last year. My website is beingmentallyhealthy.com. So what are the takeaways? I wonder why the length of time in emergency is necessary. Just because we're not bleeding doesn't mean we don't need prompt treatment. And please make the appointment cards bigger and make sure there's follow-up. I didn't have a formal wellness team like some patients do now. Sally, my psychiatrist, and Arlo, my psychologist, knew each other, but they didn't know Faye at the Schizophrenia Society or Kathleen, the occupational therapist at the hospital. They were my wellness team, though, and they let me know that the other things I was doing with other healthcare providers were important, and they conveyed that value to me. Arlo kept encouraging me to stay in the hospital goal group, keep speaking for the Schizophrenia Society, and Faye said, "You're doing very well. You're lucky to have Arlo. Everyone should have an Arlo." What I want to say is that the collaborative care was the most important thing. The psychiatrist, the occupational therapist, my family doctor. I actually went to the family doctor after being diagnosed, and I found a great family doctor. I have a good team of pharmacists. And so the collaborative care was the most important thing to me. And I've always felt like I was part of my own wellness team. Thank you.
That was Elizabeth Anderson sharing her collaborative healthcare experiences at the 16th Annual Canadian Collaborative Mental Health Care Conference in Calgary, Alberta in June 2015. You can find Elizabeth Anderson online at beingmentallyhealthy.com.
The next Collaborative Mental Health Care Conference will be held in Kelowna, British Columbia in June 2016. You can find out more online at sharedcare.ca, that's shared-care.ca. And we'd like to thank the Canadian Collaborative Mental Health Care Initiative for content used in the preparation of this segment.
People First Radio is an initiative of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and broadcasts on CHLY 101.7, radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the partnering organizations. Listen to People First Radio on demand. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpages.